Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us through your word written by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so we ask that you would teach us now and equip us to live the lives you call us to as your children and to lift our hearts to you in worship. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, novelist Nikki Gemmell, the author of The Racy Bride Stripped Bare and now a regular columnist for The Australian, was perhaps an unlikely convert to the Christian faith. After working as a presenter for Triple J, she moved to London where she read the news for the BBC and worked on her novels. And while she was there, she and her husband discovered the solace of evensong in her words. The combination of prayers, Bible reading, psalms and choral music had a profound effect. It completely stilled me and brought me to an experience of calm, she writes. Later, she went to another more contemporary church, and we went along because an Aussie friend was having a child christened there, and we were so taken that we've gone there ever since, she says. That story is over 20 years old. I got it from the book that we've been working through in this sermon series, The Best Kept Secret of Christian Mission. So I don't know where Nikki Gemmell is up to today in her faith, but I share this story because it speaks to the impact the ordinary Sunday church service, just like today, can have on people encountering Jesus and finding life in his name. This is our final in a sermon series on a mission from God, and we've been looking at God's mission in his world to that he be known and worshipped. And at St. George's, we talk about it like this, that our mission is to see people drawn to the light of Christ, transformed by the light of Christ, and then sent out to shine the light of Christ. And we've looked at different ways that each one of us can participate in and contribute to God's mission in the world. We've looked at how we can do that through our prayers. This is the most powerful way that we can share in God's mission. I love visiting people from our church family who are kind of housebound in nursing homes, wherever else, and saying, "Can you pray? You are still totally part of our church family, and this is so powerful. So thank you for your prayers." So that's one. Another way we can participate, through our generous giving to God's work. And we can also participate, sharing God's mission, through loving our neighbours, being salt and light, doing all the good things that God has prepared for us to do. And last couple of weeks we saw that we can share in God's mission through our gracious witness, giving reasons for the hope that we have in Jesus when people ask us. Well, today we are looking at how our corporate worship, what we do when we come together on Sunday as a church, contributes to God's mission. Now, we put on four big events through the year where we deliberately invite our neighbours in Battery Point to join us. Some of you may have delivered some of our postcards in the past, those invitations. So our first one for the year, we're coming up on Tuesday, Pancake Tuesday, in case you didn't get the memo. But also if you're new, come along, 5 to 7pm, it's going to be lots of fun. And this is designed to offer Christ-like hospitality to our neighbours and with a view to introducing our friends to Christ. So that's number one. We have Easter, we have the Henry Baldwin Lecture in June, and our Christmas services. But I can tell you that more people join St. George's through simply coming on an ordinary Sunday than any of the special events that we do. I still think we should do them. I think it's great for our public witness and it's part of our ecosystem, if you like, our presence in the community. But our ordinary Sundays are so powerful. Our building stands as a beacon of hope in our city, and it invites people to church every week. And you know, you may be one of those people. So welcome if that's you. If you've come, maybe your friends invited you, maybe you've seen the building. We're so glad that you're here today. As well as being for us as Christians, what we do on Sunday in church is also very much for those who do not yet know Christ. And that may be you as well. And our weekly Sunday worship can have a powerful effect. So this morning I want to ask, look at three questions. What do we do on Sunday? Why is church so powerful? And how can we share in God's mission through Sunday church? So what do we do on Sunday at church? On one level, this is a really easy question to answer. We gather together here. We pray to God. We sing songs. We read the Bible. We hear a sermon. We often share in the Lord's Supper. We've got kids' church. There's our youth discussion group, which is on after the service, after the sermon today as well. If you're interested, Erica, you can wave your hand. There you go. Join along. And after the service, we often have a coffee and a chat. So this is just a description of what we do on a Sunday. But what's the spiritual significance of these things? Or you could say, what's the big picture of what we do? Well, we began this series by looking at Psalm 96. And I want to take us back there as we get underway here. Let me see if I can get this. Aha, here we go. All right, so Psalm 96. Here, God invites his people to join all creation in singing praise to him. So verse 1, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Notice we sing praises to God and we also tell the story of his salvation. That is, the story of the great things that he has done to rescue a people for himself, culminating in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And that's what we come to do. That's what we do when we come together as God's people on a Sunday. We sing his praises. We tell the story of his salvation. We come together to worship him. Now, I know there's some debate in some circles about whether or not we should call what we do in church on Sunday worship. And yes, we are called to worship God in every part of our life, in all that we do. If you think that you only worship God on Sundays, I'm sorry to disappoint you. God wants the whole of your life, not just this hour and a half. One of our sending out prayers at the end of the service, we often say, is, Father, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work for your praise and glory. That's taken directly from Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul urges us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And he says, this is our spiritual worship. And that's what we pray, and I hope that's what you want as you leave church. It's certainly what I'm praying for you as you head out, for everyone, that you would go out to love and serve God in his world as you leave church. Nevertheless, there is something different about when we come together as God's people in corporate worship. And we'll come to this in a moment. But before that, did you notice how the psalm continues? Verse 3, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. So how is it that the psalm expects God's people to declare God's glory among the nations? Well, verse 3 comes after verses 1 and 2, and they tell us it's through God's people singing songs of praise That is, through their corporate worship. There's an expectation in this psalm that when we gather as God's people to worship him, there will be others watching on. Now, this was the case for ancient Israel. When Solomon prayed opening the temple, he prayed that the nations would be drawn to come and worship God there. And in Jesus' day, the temple in Jerusalem in Jesus' day had a special court, the court of the Gentiles or the court of the nations, for the non-Jews to come and take part in Israel's worship and praise of God. And it was the same for the early church. In that reading we heard from 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul expects, in his words, that unbelievers and inquirers will be present in the Sunday gathering when believers in Christ come together for worship. I have to say, that's my experience here at St. George's. You may be one of those people, and the Bible expects you to be here. There's nothing weird or strange about it. We love that you are here with us. And did you notice how our reading from 1 Peter picks up that same theme from the psalm? This is how the Apostle Peter describes the church. So where are you? I'll call this up. All right, here we go. You, that's actually you, all of you here, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. The church might not look very spectacular. It is certainly full of failure and foibles. It may be all too human. But nevertheless, this is who God declares the church to be. His chosen people. A royal priesthood. A holy nation, God's special possession. In Jesus, God is making a new people, rescuing them from darkness, bringing them into his wonderful light. And what is our response to be? Worship, to declare his praises. So, that's what we do when we come together on Sunday for corporate worship. The word corporate means body. And the body here is us, the church, that is the body of Christ. And it's also why we call what we do on Sunday a service, because that is another word for worship. Here we come together, serving or worshiping God. And the Bible expects that we will have visitors who may be unbelievers and inquirers, to use Paul's terms. So that's what we do here when we come on a Sunday. But why is church so powerful? Well, the answer is very simple. Because God is present in the church. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, "You are the Holy One, enthroned on the praises of Israel." What an extraordinary picture, that the Holy One, God himself, that his royal throne is the praises of his people. Changing the picture from that of a royal court to the temple, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 we read, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" And our reading from 1 Peter chapter 2 fleshes this out. Here's what the Apostle Peter writes. "As you come to him," that is Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, that's you guys, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. This is what we get to see when we gather together as church. We see here God's temple, where each of us are living stones. We see the place where God lives by his Spirit. We, each of us, get to act as priests, offering the sacrifice of our praise to God. And what's more, we know that he receives our praises, this sacrifice, with joy, because we come to worship him through our great high priest, Jesus himself, who is present with us by his Holy Spirit. As the Lord Jesus himself said, where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. So when we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus to worship our God and Father, we gather as the temple where God dwells by his Holy Spirit. We enter into the most holy place through our great high priest. And we offer the sacrifice of our praise to God. We enter into the throne room of grace and enthrone God through our praises. Why is church so powerful? Because here, right now, we are before God's throne. Here, we are here in his temple. Not this building, I mean, this is building, it's great, but you, the living stones making up God's temple. And he is here with us and among us. And when we lift our voices to praise him, we are singing directly to him. When we pray, bringing our needs and the needs of our world before God, we are speaking to our Father in heaven, who delights to hear the prayers of his children. And he's here present listening. When we hear the scriptures read and hear the sermon preached, we are hearing God speak to us right now by his Holy Spirit. And when we come to the table, it is the Lord himself who feeds us with the heavenly banquet of his grace. Maybe you're here and you are not yet a believer, but you have felt a peace that you can't explain. You felt your heart strangely warmed. You felt a lightness, maybe even a joy. Maybe you've shed tears. You've wondered what on earth is going on. Well, let me tell you, it's no secret. You have been in the presence of God. He offers you his love, his forgiveness in Jesus, and he invites you to worship him. It's what you are made for. We live in a world of accelerating conflict and polarization. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul speaks about the great cultural and political polarization of the ancient world. The divide between Jews and non-Jews, Jews and Gentiles, And that God's in the business of undoing that polarization in Jesus. So the Apostle Paul writes, "For Jesus himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, that dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations." His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. That making of one new, reconciled, redeemed humanity through Christ, we get to see that made visible in the concrete flesh and blood community of the church as we meet together as the body of Christ. It's why I love seeing all of you at church in all our diversity, young and old, men and women, rich and poor, from all different kinds of backgrounds and cultures and languages and life experiences, drawn together, made one in Christ. I love hearing about how people are going, living out their faith, learning to love God and to love their neighbors. I love seeing what God is doing in your lives. In the Apostles' Creed, we say that we believe in the communion of saints. Well, that's what we mean. We believe in the church, the people amongst whom God is at work by his Holy Spirit. Now, all of this is not necessarily flashy. Now, we, of course, want church on a Sunday to be our highlight of the week. I hope it is for you. And everyone gives of their best in contributing to our worship on Sunday. But we're all imperfect people. This is, you know, only a poor shadow of the true worship we're going to enjoy in glory. And yet, we are still those amongst whom God delights to dwell by his Spirit. And when we come to our Heavenly Father, we come here through the grace of his Son. That's why church is so powerful, because God's really here. So if you want to experience God, come to church. And if you want to experience God, come and worship him. Well, how can you participate in God's mission through church on a Sunday? Well, as we've seen in both the Old and New Testament, they expect that when God's people gather together for worship, there will be visitors present. As such, our ordinary Sunday worship becomes a powerful means by which people hear and see the good news of Jesus lived out, and are drawn to worship God themselves. And that means three things for us if you're here as a believer in Christ. Well, for all of us. First, come and worship yourself. Make church on a Sunday the anchor and cornerstone of your week. Second, invite people to church. Church is the most powerful way your friends and family can experience God. And number three, welcome new people at church. We are blessed with the most gorgeous building here at St. George's. It stands as a beacon of light over our city and hope. Our tower invites people to church all day, every day and night when it's floodlit. And I can tell you that we always have visitors here at church on a Sunday. You may be one of those visitors. So even if you don't manage to invite someone to church, you can welcome those who are new. That's why we have our regular morning teas and lunches, so we can extend that hospitable welcome to new folk. It's part of what our Bible study groups are about, being places where you can get to know a smaller group of people on a more intimate level. But it's also personal. I'd love for every person at church to be prepared to make room in your life for new friends that you welcome at church. You know, you could have a coffee, invite someone over, spend some time with them, share your life, do it together with some others at church and see God at work. It's a powerful combination. Experiencing the presence of God in corporate worship and experiencing the love of God in the welcome of his people. And through that encounter, finding life in Jesus' name. And you can be part of that as you come to church on a Sunday. It's gentle. It's very ordinary. It's weekly. It's electrifying. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that you are here present with us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, your Son, our Savior, our great High Priest, through whom we can come to worship you with the sacrifice of our praise. Please lift our hearts to sing your praise. Renew us as we meet with you in this place at this time. And we pray, Father, for those who are here, unbelievers inquiring, trying to figure it out. Please, Lord, meet them by your Holy Spirit. May they encounter you amongst us and help us to be your people of great hospitality and welcome, so that we may have the joy of seeing friends and others find life. In Jesus' name, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.